right now, one of Wisconsin's most powerful voices in the world of poetry is back with us. After winning the Brittingham Prize in Poetry earlier this year, former Wisconsin Poet Laureate Max Garland is back with a brand new collection of poems, some of which he's going to share with us today.
In addition to being a former Poet Laureate of Wisconsin, he's also a professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and is the first writer in residence for the city of Eau Claire. His new book of poems is called The Word We Used for It. Max, welcome back.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, Max, let's start with the title of your new book, your collection, The Word We Use for It. There's a lot going on in that title. You're thinking about language and playing with language and also getting into the symbolism of what words stand for. How would you describe what that title is about?
I think it's an old theme in poetry that the word we use for the things we're talking about often is not the word we wish for. It's sometimes not the sufficient word to express or hold the feeling or image. And yet we fling words out there trying to contain those things. And so I think that's that interesting tension between how hard it is to convey experience and emotion and how much we continue to try, and that strong need to try it. And so it's always sort of just the word we use for it, not the perfect word.
Do you feel like as a poet, that imprecision of words, is it something that can be a blessing or is it always a curse?
It gives you a lot of latitude, certainly. It gives you a large task, but I think it's not just a poetic challenge. I think we do this. People do it every day. They search for the right word. They try to express something, and they know they don't quite hit it. So I think a poet's task is simply an extension of an ordinary human task, is how hard it is sometimes to say what we mean.
If you had to describe it, how would you describe what this new collection is about? What are the themes that run through it?
That's one theme. Another theme is also an ancient. I don't think I've invented many new themes or any, but I think the other theme is the slipperiness of memory and sort of a confession that memory always is, by and large, partially made of imagination or fueled by imagination. And I think the longer I live, the more I'm okay with the fact that we're not going to find a perfectly intact file with a memory in it, but we're going to have to work on that memory with our imagination, shaping it. In fact, I almost feel like our memories are, in a sense, our lifelong poem in progress.
And you are the first ever poet in residence for the city of Eau Claire. What does that job mean to you?
You have to show up a lot. Yeah, I'm, my job is to promote poetry, sort of, and the arts, and sort of invite people into the process. I have a series of open mics where people are invited to come and say what they want to say. The next one, I think, is here in Eau Claire, and it's based on a phrase by Henry David Thoreau, where I lived and what I lived for. And so that's a sort of typical theme. I'm asking people to come to the open mic and comment upon where they live and what they live for. I mean, that's a pretty broad theme. It's our version of Poet Laureate. It's called Writer in Residence because it's in the future will be open to prose writers and other kinds of writers as well.
There's a lot of the evocation of landscapes in your work. There's a lot of snow. There's a lot of wildlife. There are birds. The squirrel features prominently. Do you feel that you're also writing Wisconsin in the sense that you've experienced it firsthand and you know what the sky looks like on a particular day and what the squirrel on your deck is doing? How does Wisconsin figure into all of it?
There's much more snow than in previous books. The longer my life outside of Kentucky, where I grew up, I think the more snow comes into the poems, the more cold. I think I'm getting more confidence about writing about this place. You know, I lived in a very different place for a long time. But I think as the decades sort of mount up, I feel like I can now speak a little bit more about you know, this environment. I've traveled over it a lot. Here today in Wisconsin, something is falling. I don't know if it's snow or sleet. It might be that thing we call wintry mix, which is like a beautiful phrase, isn't
right,
it? But it's never a beautiful thing.
Not when you're on the road, for sure.
No.
Maybe inside by the fire. Well, I want to talk, I want to hear your poems before we go any further, and you prepared a couple of them for us. And the first one I'd like to see if you would read for us is called Joy.
Joy, yes. This poem, it's interesting you asked me about that one. I think I was listening to Wisconsin Public Radio when I heard it was 10 below, and I went online to see what the wind chill was, and online I saw temperature 10 below feels like 10 below. And I thought, well, that doesn't tell me much. So I thought I would go outside. I was going to go out, stand under this pine tree next to my house, and I was going to see, like I was going to, I was going to complete the weather report by seeing exactly what 10 below feels like, which, you know, what does it feel like? So that was my job. However, when I worked on the poem, it went somewhere else. A word popped up that I didn't expect. So here's the poem. And I know 10 below by Wisconsin standards is not that drastic, but if you grew up in Kentucky, it's still worth noting. Joy. Just to know how it felt, I stood under the red pine. It was 10 below and the sun was not quite up and the moon not quite down. And the air so cold, you couldn't call it cold anymore, but sort of comical on the intake. And the lungs were like, are you serious? The three-prong tracks in the snow belong to creatures no longer of this earth. The paw prints, as well, were the only traces of what we once called rabbits when such things bounded from the shrubberies. And the light, which began to climb over the rim of horizon, appeared stunned, like ancestors in old photographs seem stunned. You look at them in their suspenders and bonnets and the austerity of their faces as if they knew, even then, in the minutes wait for the shutter to close, they were goners. As if they knew the reason for the picture was time without pity. So I stood under the red pine, took a few more breaths from deep in the glacial instant of my one and only life, which hurt a little, like joy, by which I mean the edge of joy, where it sharpens itself for the work it has to do.
Wow, I love that. It really captures winter and what it feels like to freeze, like the weather, or freeze a moment of time and know that it is this special moment that's never going to repeat itself.
That's an interesting, I didn't think of it that way, but that's very interesting. I also, the thing that surprised me about the poem is I used to think that when we solved all of our personal problems and all of our world's problems, then happiness and would ensue. You know, that was the process. And by the end of this poem, something came up sort of telling me to reverse the process. Maybe it's not that joy happens once we solve the world's dilemmas, but maybe joy is one of the vehicles for solving them.
Hmm. You have a lot about light. It seems like light is a muse for you in this poetry collection, starting with the very first poem, which is taking in a religious piece of art, and you see the light hitting the face of the young woman who's in the picture. And I wonder, and I saw that come back again and again. What were you thinking about when you thought of all these different ways light interface with your work?
Well, you know, in Wisconsin, during many months, light is not overly abundant, so it's valuable. It's just interesting to me. I think if there's any difference in these poems, it's that there is more intimacy with the Wisconsin environment. There's a little more science. And I intended that poem to be about a particular painting in a museum, but it wound up being about the light, the way it struck the painting, and the cells of the retina that were, you know, activating that life and transmitting them into thoughts. And so the process itself became really interesting. And I don't know. I guess I'm more audacious or less shy about bungling into science in poems than I used to be. I mean, it takes something like 10,000 years for a photon that forms in the center of the sun to kind of pinball its way up to the sun's corona, then 8.5 minutes for it to get here and strike. And so, I think that the wildness of that concept, how long it took the light to illuminate, you know, a stroke of paint, you know, 400 years old, you know, is a sort of source of wonder to me.
We're talking to Max Garland now, former poet laureate of Wisconsin. His new book of poems is called The Word We Used For It. And a lot of it, as we're talking about, is these deep sort of ideas that you can mull over and reveal new things. But some of it is just fun. You've got a funny poem about, it's called Search Committee, which I assume is kind of interview committee. Tell us about where that one came from.
It came from being marched in front of a bunch of search committees to try to get a job. And it came from then sitting on the other side of the table and watching the sort of, in a sophisticated manner, the sort of humiliation of being in front of a search committee in your brand new black coat and necktie, which you never wear, and ill-fitting shoes, and trying to present yourself in a way that you will be picked for the dubious honor of an academic career.
And towards the end of that poem, there's a line. It's a string of questions, question after question, and then comes the line, "You'll be hearing from someone soon about something."
Exactly.
Which is
a pretty much the kind of vague hope you're often given when put in front of a search committee, which, oddly enough, no one wants to serve on and no one wants to come up in front of.
And Max, you've got some events coming up. Where can people see you and hear more about your poetry in the next coming month or two?
I'll be this weekend at the Driftless Writing Center in Viroqua, I believe on Friday, November 10th, at the Volume 1 Gallery here in Eau Claire. November 18th, the Arts and Lit Lab in Madison, and that's all I can remember at the moment.
Sounds good. Well, Max, thanks so much for joining us and sharing your poetry today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Max Garland is a former poet laureate of Wisconsin, a professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and he's the first writer in residence for the city of Eau Claire. His new book of poems that we've been talking about is called The Word We Used For It.